Hi. Thank you very much. It's such a privilege, as I always say, because it really is a privilege. First of all that all of you that used to be strangers to me scared me to death with that bottle of oil in the beginning, but then became a dear family. So I really, really, really appreciate that. I'll try not to stand in the way of the Spirit so he could deliver what he placed in my heart. Last month, we came down to what used to be my home, and that's a place called Crimea. It's a peninsula in the Black Sea. Wonderful, beautiful place. What happened about 5 years ago, the Russians took over. They moved in their troops, and by the time you get up in the morning, you saw the tanks rolling down the streets, and you figured out by then that's it's getting a bit spooky. So we left our home, and there's something different happened this time. Because this time we came down to see our parents. There's a lot of difficulties when you cross into the border, because Crimea being an occupied territory, it was turned into the Russian the rule of law and the system of everything. So they've questioned me all kinds of questions. Where do I work? And I've you don't want to really give them more than you really should. I made a mistake, and they said, "What are you doing in Kiev?" Because they could see I'm Crimean, and because I'm Crimean, they consider me a Russian citizen against my will. But that's what they do. So what are you doing in Kiev? I'm working. Where do you work? What do you do? How much are you paid? And I kind of stumbled because I didn't want to really give up too much. So I made up a story. So, but what happened actually, it's a strange feeling because we became a refugee. And 5 years later, coming down to your homeland, you suddenly realize that you no longer belong. It's not your place. It's no longer a home for you. And it's sort of like being on Mars. You recognize the people, you know the street. I've visited my dad's house, the place where I was born, but it was no heart connection, zero. And it was then when God placed in my heart something I want to share with you. The first week in Crimea was very difficult because of all of this stupidity and those who used to be normal people, suddenly they were turned into zombies and they've been brainwashed and there's no common subject to talk. The way they, it's sort of like someone just used a time machine and load them all up on that time machine, you know, wagon and transfer them back in time to the Soviet era. And the way they think it's like, it can't be that stupid, please. Can't be. But they are. But they are. That's all they want. They want for the government to pay for them, do their... It's a free medical care in Crimea. Free. No, wait. Price comes with it. And the price is, if you want to sign up or you want to get the doctor's appointment, you got to wait for 2 months. It's free. But you're going to die waiting. And that's the true fact. I don't want that kind of free medical care. But that's the reality. So I pictured myself... Okay, here's my church, here's my brother, my dad passed away, here's my home, here's my street, here's my Black Sea, it's still black and it's still mine. But I start thinking about one subject, freedom. What is freedom? And I pictured myself, and please, if it helps you, close your eyes and try to imagine, try to picture yourself being in the room. Just a room. It's a dark room. And what is the freedom? Sometimes I tend to think that freedom is a room that is empty. There's no furniture. There's nothing. So basically what the freedom is, or how people often think of it, is a scene from the Home Alone movie when this kid was left home alone and was like, freedom! 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 What is the freedom? Freedom is an empty room. There's nothing there. I can go on the left, to the left, to the right, and I can do basically whatever I want to do. But what if freedom is not an empty room. What if freedom is room that's furnitured, and you have to make your way through it? The beauty of traveling abroad is a luxury of being placed in a different home with a toilet located in a place you don't know. Especially when you have this change of water, the nature calls you up several times during the night. Then suddenly you are awake and you have a dilemma to solve. Where is the bathroom? The light is off. You don't want to turn it on because we've heard this preaching, you know, suddenly when you turn it on, it hurts your eyes. So you got to find the bathroom. You try to find the bathroom, but somehow your brain fixed on the latest location that you use for the bathroom. So somehow you are being led to a bathroom. It's just a silly example. But in my case, I realized freedom isn't a state of nothingness. It's not something abstract. It's not something cloudy, foggy that you can actually don't know what to do with. Let me refer to a scripture that probably would illustrate it better for us. If you can turn with me to book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 12. Something that we know by heart. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Here's what it says. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I'm sure in certain translations it says power, right, the power. So for those who believe, he has given the right or the power to become children of God. Being a pastor for 20 plus something years, you quickly learn one simple fact. It doesn't mean that a person who attends the church is going to live the holy life right after the church. I mean, attending the church does not guarantee a complete change of life, but there's something else that can actually fix it for you. It's your dedication, your faith, or the ability to operate based on this right power, or let me rephrase it, freedom. I'm free to be a child of God. I am free to be, but this room is not empty. I got to make the way. I have to lay out my course, and I have to follow it. When I was in Crimea, I quickly realized by meeting with some of my buddies that I've lived for the last 5 years, I've left my home. I lived the whole life. I've lived a totally different life with so many things happening to me, to my family. But when I was sipping on a cup of coffee, talking to my buddy, it's like he got stuck in time. There's zero changes in his life. He thinks by the same measure as he used to think 5 years ago. There was no changes. He didn't use his freedom. They call it the freedom. Russia gonna free us. Yeah, tell me about it. What it really accomplished in your life? Nothing. Nothing. So the freedom is not simply responsibility, but a commission. We've been given a freedom to accomplish something. It's probably what's called mandate. You know, this sounds in English. It's kind of hard for us, the Russian speakers. Yeah. So that's the kind of always drives me nuts. So is a mandate? Mandate. It's a mandate. Something that has been given to you. You've been commissioned to do something. So that's what freedom is. I've been commissioned to do certain things. So I came to Crimea with a mission. I've been commissioned to do something. I had to take care of business, and I found myself inside of that peninsula, locked up, basically out of control of what was going on. There was all kinds of routine because we were selling our flat completely, you know, burning all the bridges and leaving Crimea completely. Like, oh, that's it, end of story. But the paperwork and everything took so long, and you got stuck doing nothing. What am I going to be doing here? So we realized we've been commissioned to use this freedom that's been given, to time to get something done. It's the same thing that we can apply to every other area. Last year, I've had the privilege of ministering in a city that is mentioned in the Bible by the name Antioch, the Antioch. And there was a particular occasion in the Bible that you know, brings up this city with a certain, you know, event that heavily influenced our Christian worldview. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Book of Acts, chapter 13. I'm going to be reading from the first verse. Acts, chapter 13. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. I'm not going to bore you with all the names because I'm going to mispronounce it. So let me jump right into the verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Here it is, this word, fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them, commissioned them. I've given them freedom to get something accomplished." The fact that freedom has been given to me does not guarantee that it would do itself without me being involved. I am the initiator of the freedom or the mandate that has been given to me. I've been given something, yes, but I've been given something for a reason. It's not a medal, it's a tool. A shovel is not a medal. It's too big to be a medal. You got to shovel the snow. You got to get something done with it. So in Antioch, it was so significant because I was walking the streets of Antioch, and it's just a city in Turkey. I mean, it's pretty. But there's so much history. I was climbing all the caves and the mountains. I found this ancient church. It was so much history in every brick. And yet, the biggest history has taken place here. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart those two brothers." And surely they did. You know, what is the best part in every journey? What is the best part? The beginning. Loading the boat, boarding the airplane is the best part. I flew with the Austrian Airlines. What I didn't know, the Austrians are Germans. And that's what I told myself. Ha, ha, ha. I didn't know it. Because those folks, they do their life by the rules. So I took my favorite toothpaste. You know, it was a gift from a Turkish family in Antioch. It was a gift and a wonderful toothpaste. So when I was going through the second security check, because as soon as you arrive to Vienna, you have to change the, not necessarily the terminal, but change the airplane, and you have to go through security again. It's within the security. I've been already secured, but they want to double check. Surely enough, this wonderful Austrian guy finds my toothpaste. Here is the conversation. That's quite funny. The conversation goes like, "Sir, your toothpaste is too big. I mean, it has to be less than 100 milligrams. Well, being a Ukrainian, I came up with a brilliant idea. Can I squeeze something out? Can I just shrink it, downside it to, and his response blew me away. Look, on the plastic it says 150. Well, yeah, I'm going to get rid of the content, and then we're going to downside it to the 100 milligrams. No, your plastic says 150. It's just the plastic. Can't do that. No wonder we'll beat you up. So, it's hilarious. It was quite expensive toothpaste, and they took it away from me. I was furious. There's Germans. Man. But every journey begins with fun. But what you find on the way is all kinds of challenges. So, surely enough, the verse 3, so after they had fasted, they finished fasting, and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It's a wonderful beginning. But if we continue to read, we're going to realize that verse 6, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish, here comes the word, sorcerer. You get the point. And a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who had an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, here comes the word again, sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. So here is the dilemma. God has commissioned those two. They've been given a prophecy, the laying of the hands, the mandate, everything. Every boxes were checked. I mean, they were sent out fully equipped and prepared. And yet, on the way, their work, they faced opposition. Opposition. So freedom doesn't mean that you going to have no opposition, that the room going to remain empty and you can just do whatever you want. No, the freedom means you've been commissioned. You've been sent out and God has given you a mandate to get certain things accomplished. And guess what? Despite of any opposition, you are enabled by God to do so. Hallelujah. So that's what the freedom is. And When I begin to think of it, the amazing, chapter of a journey to Crimea began to unfold. There were so many miracles, so much grace in everything, in every little thing. In the beginning, I took an approach to, okay, I'm going to waste my time here. There's nobody to talk to. I mean, I can't really lay on the beach the whole day. My wife can't. I can't. It's boring. 1 hour is fine, but the whole day, flip over, get the sun lotion on. Oh, come on, honey. Can we get an ice cream? No. It's a torture. It's a torture for me, not for her. So I kind of thought, oh, man, it's going to be tough. But then things began to unfold. It was so much grace, despite of opposition. Why? Because there was this freedom given to me. And, further in the text, you would read that when Paul and Barnabas, they continue to minister, they continue to preach the gospel. When they turned and went to a different city, they went in a synagogue and they preached the gospel. And the way Paul preached the gospel was great. He just highlighted everything. He began from the very beginning, and he opened up the subject. It was great. Until those Jews realized that he is stealing the crowd. And there was a second opposition. second opposition. And it was this exactly story, I mean, this story, when Paul said, okay, you don't want to hear it? I'm turning and going to go into the Gentiles. That's it. You don't want to hear it? I'm out of here. I'm going to preach to Gentiles. It was quite a significant moment. Paul and Barnabas were commissioned, and when the opposition came, they didn't stumble. They continue to walk into the commission or into the freedom they've been given. What is the beauty of walking on water? Let's discuss just a little bit. I mean, just a fun time. What is the beauty of walking in water? I know I haven't walked in water, but what would be the beauty of it? Refreshing. Thank you. That's an honest answer. Give me an idea. You don't get what? Huh? Obedience. Good. Oh, convenience. Yeah, pretty much. Anything else? Pretty good point. Yeah, it is. And all those are right, but think about one particular aspect of it. The water remains wet still. Despite of you walking on it, the water's still wet. Which gives me an idea. Let's read a verse that talks about it. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 25. Shortly before the dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The beauty of walking on the water, to me, is there's always a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. We have this tendency of getting used to certain things. For instance, if I already experienced God, you know, operating in certain area of my life, I'm getting used to it. There's a tendency that, okay, he's going to do it again, and it's going to be like automatic. It's not going to cost me anything. It's still going to be easy. It's not me being involved. It's him doing it for me. But there's one word in Greek that I remembered, parakletos, which means comforter. Comforter is someone who is not doing it for you, but with you. When I was a kid, and my mom used to send me out to get shopping done, the veggies and fruits, and she liked to shop big. We didn't have a car, so we had to carry our bags, you know, back home all the way from the market and quite a distance. So what I like to do, I like to get my friends involved. So they were hanging to the one side of the bag. I was hanging to the other side of the bag. And that was the easy way to do so. And my mom used to be amazed. Maybe that was a part of the calling, being a pastor. At the earliest, and I don't understand how you do that, son. She sent me out up in the tree to pick up cherries. And next moment, she finds out there's a bunch of my friends helping me out. I don't know how to have done it. It just was came out. It comes out naturally. Hey, man, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Do you like some cherries? Yeah, come on over. Well, what he didn't know that he's not going to feed on it. He's going to feed on, then he's going to work out. Hey, Alex, do you want to go to the beach? Yeah, but you know what? The cherry. Do you want to help me with the cherries? Yeah, come on over. Then we go to the beach. So I got them involved all the time. So the parakletos, the comforter, means he's going to be carrying half of the weight together with you. Together with you. So when we're getting used to something that God does, it tends us to believe that the next time we're going to walk on water, we're not going to get our feet wet. Well, it's not the case. It doesn't mean you're not going to walk on water. What I mean, it's still going to cost you something. Paul and Barnabas, they were commissioned, but there was no guarantee that there's going to be no opposition. So they had to get their feet wet. So it's always us being involved in the process. Freedom is a commission, the right, the power given to us to accomplish a certain task. And I am responsible for my part of the job. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. And next time you're going to have to ask for forgiveness, maybe you come to a disagreement with your friend and you need to ask for forgiveness, it's still going to cost you something. It's still going to be a little painful. But you can do it. I can do it. And it seems to me like, okay, I've asked forgiveness so many times, it's going to be easy next time. Well, it all depends. The bottom line is, we still have to ask for forgiveness. My wife, she is very creative, and she has her way of getting me involved in whatever she does. I try to resist. It doesn't work. So the thing I hate the most, here it is. So whenever she wants to fix something in the house or decorate a room or the bathroom, you know, the logical side of the humanity, things by certain measures, like if the pipe comes out of the wall here, there's logic in it to put the toilet right next to it. No. Why? It's not pretty. It's not the right place. Well, the pipe comes out this way. It's logical. It's easier. I mean, no, honey. Move it over there. How? I don't know. You're the man. As a man, I'm telling you, fix this ball in this corner. Period. I can get it done in 2 minutes. No. Oh. And, I mean, she has this ability to turn me on these things, and guess what? I still have to do it her way. There's always price to pay. There's always price to pay. Honey, we need to get this done. And in my mind, I know the scale that I've been given by birth when I'm dealing with certain things is, okay, she wants to get this done. All right, here's the quickest, cheapest, and easiest way to get it done. Dude, I got the picture. Don't tell me what to do. I got the picture. I need this, this, and that. No, forget it. It's not going to work this way. It's going to be the longest, the toughest, and the most expensive. I'm thinking, I want my rib back. I want my rib back. It's always the toughest way, but why? No, seriously, why? I don't know. But the funny part is, whatever she does, it's pretty. It looks good. But nobody really compliments me for getting all of the dirt. Oh, this bathroom looks wonderful. Well, she's a designer. Then what it makes me? A shoveler? Who am I in this case? So my point is simple, you know. When you are commissioned or given freedom through certain things, it comes with a price. It comes with an opposition. But it's a part of the journey. The main thing is you've been commissioned by God. You got this ability. And despite of opposition, you are making your way through supernaturally. Under one condition, you still have to move forward. You, me, us. When we sold our flat in Crimea, it's just hilarious. And they've given us a bunch of cash. You know, the funny kind of money that you don't really know what to do in Ukraine. Because there's Russian money. On the top of that, they print out the money with this Crimean bridge, the Crimean blah, blah, blah. Meaning that nowhere in the world those money are accepted. See what they've done? Some of the Russian currency, I mean, it's worldwide. You can use it. But those print out in anniversary of annexation of Crimea, not. All of the banks in Crimea are under the sanctions. So you basically can... It's a nice bunch of paper, but that's it. Nothing else. So we filled our pockets with cash. And then you got to exchange it to the real money. So it takes a while. And you got to watch the raid and to get the best of it. And there was one day, and I remember one day, when we suddenly, woke up with this desire. We got to take all the cash and go to that bank and get it exchanged. We've left Crimea 5 years ago. There's so many things happening. You don't really understand. As soon as you get in Crimea, it's a different everything, a different environment, different ball game, basically. And I don't really understand how things work there. And suddenly, God gives us a desire to take up all the cash and go to that bank. Surely we did. And that particular bank, they had enough cash to process our request, and we were able to exchange the money. The rate was wonderful. We just gained about $1,000 just by going that day. What I didn't know, so the rate came down just for one day. Just one day. The next day, we wanted to check the rate again. It went up, and it's still up. One day. How in the world would I know? There's no way. But there was this desire. You trapped inside of the circumstances. You got to go with the flow, but you've been commissioned. There was freedom given. But the furniture is on the way. There are obstacles on the way. You're pushing them away. You're making your way through. And that's the beauty of it, freedom. You're free to be a child of God. It's going to cost me. Every time when I have to resist an opposition or I meet with the people who are not the children of God, and you have to conduct yourself as a child of God, it's going to cost you something. You're free to be. You are. But instead, it's going to cost you something. It's the same as walking in water. And I found it fascinating. And I've learned that what really matters is the fact that freedom has been given to me. And it's my responsibility to put it to a good use. Yeah. Opposition doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much opposition I'm going to meet or face. It doesn't matter. God is going to work my way through. But I have to do the walking. Yesterday, I've decided, because you guys, you drive too much, eat too much, see too much. Back home, we walk too much. Well, I got the man who knows it all. You got to walk everywhere. And it's the beauty of it. You're still fit.
You stay fit and you feel good. So I thought, I'm going to walk down to the church. So I took my buddy with me. Where is he? Up there. There you go. So I drag him out and we walk in on the side. In America, there's no sidewalks. You can't walk. So you got to walk against the traffic. And I don't know what was it. Maybe the look on our faces, the bop, stop his car. Guys, do you need a ride? No, we're fine. We're just making a walk to the church. We carry on walking. There's another car stopped by. Guys, do you need a ride? What, do we look like that helpless? We're just trying to exercise. But it was fun. It was fun, really. So walking is our responsibility. Walking in water, making your way through the furniture room, the freedom is ours. We've been enabled to be or become, to live our lives out as the children of God. And my encouragement to me and to you, to stay faithful to the course. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It really is. It really is. When we were carrying cash out, because there's, you know, to exchange the money, and then you have to carry the money or the money out of Crimea. You have to go through the security, the border control, the custom, and you're allowed to carry on a certain amount of money. And they would like to stop you, do the count, and send you out. And you don't know how connected they are to the mafia, because they could just highlight, this guy carries the cash, so deal with him. You don't know. It's simply dangerous. So what you have to do, you have to trust God. I've had my guitar, because we try to move out things. I had my suitcase full of books, heavy stuff. There's one thing you gain in years of ministry, books. If you wanna relocate yourself, the toughest part is books, because you got to carry them out. All the encyclopedias and dictionaries, it's heavy stuff. I busted my luggage by carrying the book and books. Anyway, I'm carrying my guitar, my big suitcase, a backpack, and I'm trying not to look into their eyes. I'm trusting God they're going to let me go without a check. So I'm just walking through. And guess what? By the time I reached the point where those custom guys were standing, they turned away. And I just spit up. It was scary. It was scary. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun. Because with God, everything is possible. Everything is possible. And let me tell you one more story, and we're done. We got a common friend, Demidovich. Recently, he had this happen to him that you don't know yet. It's a wonderful friend, wonderful Christian leader. And he was invited to Peru, Argentina, to conduct conferences and services. It was a big project, big project. He was scheduled to go for a month. And then my friend from the States texted me, check out what happened with Demidovich, this gentleman. What happened to him? I just talked to him on the phone. Well, here's what happened. The blood vessel burst out inside this area in his head, and he was choking with blood. They checked him into the ICC room, and he was that close to death. No, Slavyansk. Yeah. So he confessed to his brother, the bishop, because he thought he's going to die. He missed his flight. He missed this opportunity. And then a few days down the road, finally he called me and we had this conversation. And here's what happened that I didn't know. Peter Dudnik. Those folks, they have a TV studio. So they filmed a program, pretty good program, when they invited some key witnesses, leaders who witnessed the Russian soldiers and troops torturing people, invading Donbass, and etc. And they kind of came up with this live testimony in details of what and how things been going on. It went so well. The very next day, a witch called Peter Dudnik all the way from Russia and told him, I'm cursing you. I am cursing you. You're not going to live. That's it. And she hung up. So those folks, they get together and they pray for 3 hours, and the very next thing happens is the blood vessel bursts out. So my point is this. This gentleman has recovered. He missed his flight. The trip has been rescheduled and everything. There is a price to pay. Sometimes we have this tendency to think, okay, the battlefield, the spiritual warfare is out there. No, they wanted to go to the uncharted territory, to the unknown land. They wanted to expand the kingdom, but the expansion comes with the price. There was an opposition. I was amazed. But guess what? This friend of ours, common friend of ours, said, it is not going to stop me. I'm checking myself in, and I'm coming back to Argentina and Peru. Next time, different trip, but I'm not going to quit. That's the whole point. That's what I called freedom. If you're free, you've been given your freedom and liberty, stick to the course. Freedom is ours. There's nothing in the world, death or life, black or white, angels or demons, are able to take it away from us. It has been given to us by God. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.